talk. I gotta tell what I feel. I gotta talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Monday. A historic Monday for the city of Las Vegas. Time for the Mac Attack. I'm Ryan McKinnell. Got Mark Seidel across the way. Got a major edition of the Mac Attack, obviously, here, as I said, on this historic Monday. Antonio Brown is now an Oakland / Las Vegas Raider. He gets the deal done, or more specifically, I should say, Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, gets the deal done. He is now the highest paid wide receiver in the entire NFL, and he will be here in 2020 when the Las Vegas Raiders touch down at their new stadium. We are going to have the Review Journal's own in one half of the morning press box over in our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. Ed Graney going to be coming by in about 20 minutes to talk about his historic trade and talk a little VGK because, Mark, if you were watching this weekend, huge back-to-back divisional games for the Vegas Knights. They split it 1-1. But the real news of the weekend, Marc-Andre Fleury wins on Saturday, passes, becomes number 8th on the all-time wins list in the NHL. Another historic win for a historic guy. We're only in our second year with MAF, but it's becoming a treat as each passing week goes by, and he keeps rising the ranks of the all-time greats.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool to see, and you know, as far as the Golden Knights go, you know, that's, you know, what you know when they set out on that, on the little two-game road trip, you know, if you can come back with a split, you know, beat the team you're supposed to beat, and if you could, you know, pull a win out in Calgary, that would have been great. But yeah, so all in all, a good weekend for Marc-Andre Fleury. He's about to have a baby, too. So
that, too. Yeah, great week for Marc-Andre Fleury. And the good news is this wasn't like a back and forth. This wasn't an up and down. This was the end of a six-game win streak, and it couldn't come at a better time because this team was struggling prior to the six-game win streak. So huge win for VGK. And we'll talk to Ed as well because Ed is not only on the Raiders beat occasionally, he is also on the Vegas Golden Knights beat and covering the Knights. So we will get his thoughts a little bit on the Vegas Golden Knights, but we got to get to it. Story of the day, story of the week, really. If you're a Raiders fan, it's story of the year. It's time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round, brought to you by VIP Collision.
Man, first of all, Mark, let me just say this. I have been very critical of John Gruden. I'm totally fine with that. Right? It really centered around the Khalil Mack trade, and we'll get to that a little bit here shortly, right? But my whole thing was, why, if you're an NFL franchise, and if you're a fan of an NFL franchise, should you be willing to accept this idea that a team can't pay two players max contracts, right? That was my whole sticking point on the Khalil Mack deal. Now, that's all hindsight. It's done. What's done is done. Khalil Mack is no longer an Oakland Raider. It freed up some space. And with that space, the Oakland Raiders, first of all, Antonio Brown wasn't the only big signing today for the Raiders. We'll touch on that here in a couple minutes. But this Antonio Brown deal, just on the surface, I understand he's 31. I understand there might be questions about his drive, saying he doesn't need the NFL in recent interviews and everything. But the fact remains, you are talking a historical run that this man is on. The only wide receiver to have six consecutive seasons of 100 catches, right? So if you want to talk about consistency, if you want to talk about what you're getting for your bang for your buck, if you're taking a bit of a risk on a 31-year-old all-pro wide receiver, at least you're taking a risk on the most consistent all-pro wide receiver of all time. And, oh, yeah, and here's the real kicker with this whole deal. You got him for a third and a fifth-round pick, and all you have to do is pay him the contract, really, that he's worth anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, a
third and a fifth?
For Antonio freaking Brown. This is what I do with every trade, right? Because I have no dog in this fight, and I am very admittedly a Chicago Bears fan. But I want the Raiders to do well. I want to see him come here with all the pomp and circumstance. I want that stadium to be the best stadium in all of sports because I want to see arena shows there. Yeah. I want to see WrestleMania there. I want to see NCAA Final Four there. I want to see a Super Bowl there. I want all of this to work out. So this landing of Antonio Brown, I look at it from this standpoint. If I were a Bears fan, would I be happy? If I was your case, if I'm a Titans fan, would I be happy? And I have to come back to, I think I would be. I understand that he's 31 years old. I get that. There's risk involved. But 31 isn't 35. It's not 36. You could argue it's right about the... It's weird with NFL players, right? Yeah. I'd say he's in his prime.
Yeah.
But the NFL is weird because of the miles and the legs that you get you know, the ticks that you get put on you. So I understand that. But a third and a fifth round pick, it really feels like a coup for John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders and Mike Mayock.
Yeah. On Friday, we talked about this, and you asked if I wanted, if as a Titans fan, if I would want Antonio Brown. And I said no, but seeing what this deal was,
right?
You know, if the Titans would have traded for, you know, a third and a fifth round pick, I believe my stance would have changed.
It's only 3. It's only 3 years too.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, Antonio. And this is, we're going to talk a little bit about Drew Rosenhaus coming up at the end of the show. His ability to, what he did today, it is a historic day for Drew Rosenhaus. Yeah. I know it's a historic day for the Vegas Raiders and for you know the people that he got deals on, but. Today, Drew Rosenhaus, and this is a tease for later, the three people signed. The three biggest people that signed today were Kwon Alexander, Trent Brown, and Antonio Brown. They are all represented by Drew Rosenhaus. They're all fourth-round picks or lower, yeah. And they all are now the highest-paid position players at their position. That is stupid. To just have it on one, it would be stupid to have over a year, but on a Monday you wake up and Drew Rosenhaus clients all just got dump trucks full of money backed up to their houses. Or condos, wherever they're staying.
Yeah.
They're waiting out their new contract.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too presumptuous. But getting back to Antonio Brown, this is massive. And I talk about the contract. 3 years, right? 31 years old. But Antonio Brown went from zero guaranteed money to $30 million in guaranteed money. The deal itself is worth 3 years, about $50 million. But the guarantees are an upwards of around $30 million. So this is a huge win for workers' rights. For Antonio Brown and for the Oakland Raiders. Now, yeah. I want to talk about this being a huge win for the players. I've been wondering and kind of thinking to myself over the last 24 hours, how likely is this to happen if Le'Veon Bell doesn't go out and set the precedent of not, I'm talking about setting the precedent for the Steelers organization to not play for an entire year, showing how serious he was, because that's the alternative. If Antonio Brown doesn't get dealt, he's essentially saying, well, I'm not going to play for you. I'm not going to play for Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit. It just feels like that without Le'Veon setting that precedent and making the Steelers sweat for a 12-month period, I wonder how willing they would be to ship off Antonio Brown for a third and a fifth.
And this, I mean, this deal makes me wonder if Ben Roethlisberger didn't go to the front office and say it's me or Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's so uncharacteristic.
Yeah, I mean, a third and a fifth, it just seems extremely, just a super small cost.
And also, as a Bears fan, like Chicago, you can get over a second and a fourth and pay him $30 million.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed for my team. And I imagine the rest, like, you got to be a little bummed for the Titans, right? Yeah. Like, everyone who didn't get this deal, it's like, damn, it was only a third and a fifth?
Yeah.
And then you just got to pay him what he's worth. That's it. That's all you had to do. And Pittsburgh, you idiots, that's all you had to do. Yeah. 9 years, this dude has been a fixture of your team.
But there's obviously issues going on up there. And like I said, it makes me think that Ben Roethlisberger went to the front office and said it's me or.
And then the other question would be, if that is the case, let's play devil's advocate here, right? Let's say Roethlisberger goes to the Rooneys and he says, you know, it's me or AB. Why would you stay with Roethlisberger? I understand he's got you two Super Bowls. I understand he's a future Hall of Famer.
Same reason the Giants stick with Eli Manning.
Yeah.
He's brought you two Super Bowls.
Yeah, but is Eli as poisonous, presumably, as Ben Roethlisberger is? Because, look, let's frame it this way, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers, in one calendar year, had their two best position players refuse to play for him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking like, you know, we've got squabbles in the locker room, and Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get me the ball enough, or Le'Veon Bell wishes it was a more run-heavy attack, or they show whatever, right? This isn't just minor squabbles. These are two, not just position players.
Yeah.
Right? Not just your two best position players, I should say. Arguably the two best at their position in the entire NFL. And you have them not wanting to play, refusing.
Not playing.
Refusing. Yeah. Le'Veon Bell said, I don't want $14 million. Take it. Stick it up your ass. I am going to sit and bet on myself. Antonio Brown, essentially, I'm pretty sure, was willing to do the same thing next year.
Yeah.
What does this say about this once proud franchise, this team that doesn't run through coaches, that presumably does just about everything the right way? They have a great fan base. They've won two Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Okay, a little bit longer, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is a franchise that, on the surface, Mark, should not be in this position.
at least on face value. But yet here they are.
Yeah,
one of the most toxic, poisonous organizations in all the NFL.
Yeah, there's obvious issues going on behind closed doors. And, you know, nobody's really come out and said exactly, you know, what they are.
We're reading between the lines, though.
Yeah, reading between the lines. You can see that, you know, these guys are not getting along. There's stuff going on. And it looks from the outside as if, you know, they chose Ben Roethlisberger over, like you said, arguably the two best position players at their position in the NFL.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? I don't want to draw too many. Like, I'm not saying it's an apples comparison. It's first of all, it's a different sport, different contract, different player, different legacy. But Kobe Bryant towards the end in Los Angeles, when nobody wanted to play for him and people were looking at ways to get out because it was just clear that he was a succubus in their organization and his ego was too big to let him go anywhere else or do anything else.
Yeah.
I'm the best. I'm going to win another championship. You can ride with me or you can die, you know. And it's like, okay, well, there was a bunch of people looking around. You're old. You're clearly showing signs of wear. You're kind of an ass.
Yeah.
You got an ego. I don't really particularly like being around you, sharing meals with you, carpooling, wherever, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. Doesn't it have that feel?
Yeah.
It does. It's crazy how that can work out and how that can play out when you have a guy like a Roethlisberger that I know he's had his scandals in the past and people think a certain way about him, but we talked about this on the show. This is a team that was right on the verge of a playoff berth, even despite all the chaos. Yeah. Now you got to wonder, you lose Antonio Brown, you lose Le'Veon Bell. Things are more chaotic than they ever were before, and you don't have your two best players. They are your two best players. And no one else is signing with you. Like today, across the NFL, I mean, I already mentioned Quan Alexander, right? Trent Brown, Antonio Brown. There's more news. Nick Foles got a deal. I mean, everyone. There are safeties on the move. There are so many big names on the move. You know where they're not going?
Pittsburgh,
which is nuts. They beat up New Orleans last year. They showed that they were a playoff team. Uh-huh. They obviously didn't make the playoffs, but you would assume, like, hey, I've got an all-time NFL quarterback that's a for-sure first-ballot Hall of Famer. We have a good organization, presumably, and a great fan base, right?
Yeah.
But nobody wants to go there.
To play.
It's got to be a scary time if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
It seems to be imploding.
It does, and you're dead with Ben Roethlisberger as your quarterback. Let's make no mistake about that. I don't want to, you know, lay on the hyperbole too thick, but I mean, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah,
your two best position players are gone. Not just gone. Not just, you know, amicable, you know, differences and a split. Right, like they are not coming back. They refuse to play for you. They flat out refuse to play for you. They sat on money and said it's like the Joker in the Batman movie, right? When he lights the pile of money on fire.
Yeah.
That's essentially what Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell did.
Yeah.
Specifically Le'Veon Bell. But
just to get out of town.
Just to leave Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So a once proud franchise, two Super Bowls, especially recently. And not just a proud franchise recently, but a proud franchise going back to essentially their inception. And obviously we can point to the 70s and their run of dominance in the four Super Bowls under Terry Bradshaw and the Iron Curtain, right? So It's kind of shocking to be sitting here thinking of what the Steelers have become and what they're clearly going to be until Ben Roethlisberger retires, because there's no coming back from this. No one wants to play with you, and everybody wants to leave. Flip side of that, I thought Crazy Gruden last year talking on, what was that interview he gave? Man, y'all don't know how many calls I'm getting. Yeah. Everybody wants to be an Oakland Raider, and I want people that want to be an Oakland Raider. And he just looked insane. I was like, John, what are you talking about? No one wants to play for you. Well, oops. I apologize.
Might have spoke too soon.
Yep, might have spoke too soon. And Drew Rosenhaus was on ESPN today, and he was giving his recollection of the last 24 hours and kind of speaking on Antonio Brown, how happy he was for Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he did mention in the course of that conversation, albeit sparingly, like he didn't harp on it for too terribly long, but he did mention Las Vegas and how, you know, the eventual move to 2020 to the new stadium in this market was a draw for Antonio Brown. And you can listen. Can't underestimate that or neglect that. You're talking about Antonio Brown. You're talking about the guy who was just on the cover of Madden. Also, this feels like a reverse Madden curse.
Yeah.
We always talk about the Madden curse. Last year, I was like, well, now we know why Antonio Brown's going through everything. Look, he was on the cover of Madden. And at the time, it looked pretty legit. It's like, okay, he's having a terrible year. There's all this turmoil. Steelers don't make the playoffs. But maybe actually Now it actually worked out for him. Highest paid wide receiver. Good for you, Antonio Brown. Point being, he's on the cover of Madden. He's got the blonde hair. He's got the dread. Like, he's a marketable guy. And in the city of Las Vegas, you got to think he's going to fit in here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, it's got to be a draw for players, man. Right. I mean, just look at the climate and, you know, a guy that's been, you know, living and playing in Pittsburgh for quite some time, for his whole entire career, to be able to, you know, get out of, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh during the winter is not a, you know, necessarily on the top of your list of places to visit.
Right. So I was just thinking about this, and I'm glad I thought about this before we go to break. Got Ed Graney coming up here in about 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal to talk more about this historic Antonio Brown deal. So I'm on Twitter over the weekend. I see this question from Pro Football Talk. How many of you blocked by Ben Roethlisberger on Twitter? He posts his official at Big Ben 7. And I'm like, what, is this like a thing? Like, does this like Ben go around blocking people? Turns out Mark Seidel, yes, he does, because I am blocked by Ben Roethlisberger.
I checked, and I'm not.
Okay, do you feel left out?
Kind of.
Yeah, I feel like we've said enough bad things about Ben Roethlisberger.
I remember that this was talked about a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
So
this is all news to me.
Yeah, so I actually tweeted something derogatory at Ben Roethlisberger.
In an attempt to get blocked?
In an attempt to, you know, be part of the fun. And
there are so many people blocked by him. A couple of my buddies in MMA media are all blocked by him. We were just kind of going through the gamut of people who are blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. A lot of people are blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. I've never tweeted him.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've said negative things about Ben Roethlisberger. It's kind of in my DNA. Don't like the guy.
Yeah.
Don't particularly find him to be a wonderful human being, but hell of a football player. I'm going to be unbiased. I don't know, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that, right? Who's the best block you have?
Well, I've got the only two that I could think of off the top of my head of people that have blocked me. I'm sure there are many other people who have, but I haven't.
Right, we haven't even got into it.
I haven't like seen it, but Adam Zagoria, who's a big college basketball reporter,
blocked you.
Blocked me, and actually a Steelers wide receiver, Ryan Switzer. He's a Tar Heel, and he blocked me.
What's that about?
I don't know what I did or what I said, but yeah.
Maybe we'll get him on the show, get to the bottom of this, find out if it was just like a bad weekend, said something he didn't like. That's interesting. I don't think I have many. I'm blocked by an MMA manager, Ali Abdelaziz, who we've actually talked a little bit about on this show, which is, I view that as a badge of honor.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I was doing something right. Actually, anytime I get blocked by someone, I feel like I'm doing something right. Like, I'm sorry, did I make a valid point that you couldn't?
I know I am blocked by other people because I've seen, you know, somebody will quote a tweet and they'll say this tweet is unavailable. Right. But it always gets me. Like, I always wonder what I said, when I said it to.
Yeah, Ben, I don't know. The other one, the Dana Loesch chick from the NRA, who's just like a terrorist with brown hair, she's off her rocker, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I remember I made a really poignant and valid comeback to something she had tweeted or said, and she immediately blocked me. And I was like, I love the Adam Hill approach. You know our friend Adam Hill over at the Las Vegas Review. He blocks nobody.
I've never blocked a single person.
I blocked a couple. I probably got 10 on mute and probably 5 on block.
I've muted some people.
Yeah.
But I've never blocked anybody.
I had to block a lot of people after the October 1st shooting here in Vegas because I had a video that went super viral, like 20,000 retweets and 20,000 favorites, and it kind of got weaponized by like Alex Jones the InfoWars guys, and they were people I really do I not respect. I would love to see them behind bars.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to make sure they didn't have access to my page now that they were paying attention.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't like Adam Hill School of Social Media. He blocks no one because it's an open forum that essentially lives forever. They're time marks and it's public record. I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
Because number one, you have to have a thick skin, and number two, you have to have a real respect for journalism and social media, which at times can be hard to do in 2019. All right, when we come back, speaking of journalism, we got the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Very own Ed Graney coming up next here on The Mac Attack.
You're listening to The Mac Attack. It's The Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, we are back here on The Mac Attack, and joining the show right now, he was one half of the press box over on our sister station, and he is also on the Las Vegas Review Journal staff, and he covers the Raiders and Vegas Golden Knights. He is the intrepid one, the one and only, Ed Graney. Ed, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not doing as well as Drew Rosenhaus is today. but who is at this point, having both Trent Brown and Antonio Brown on my on the old list, signing with the Raiders for that kind of guaranteed money. So Drew's doing well today.
Yeah, no, I had a tweet on Twitter that went viral, and one of the responses was, it was essentially, I was praising Drew Rosenhaus, and someone made a really great point, and I'm going to throw it back at you, and he said, not bad, obviously said not bad sarcastically, but he said, not bad, right, considering two of those three, and I think he was talking about Quan Alexander and Trent Brown, he said, considering two of those three aren't even top 10 at their position. Now, that's a little bit of hyperbole, but Ed, that's not that far off, right? Like, these are not the best position players at their positions, are they?
No. No, I'd agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, the two Browns they got, I mean, you know, one might be a diva, but he's one of the best receivers. He's a Hall of Fame receiver who's worked on six straight 100 catch seasons. So he's kind of as sure a thing as they're going to get. You know, Trent Brown, a couple years ago, he was too heavy at the combine. They said he was overweight, and they didn't know how good he was going to be. Now, you know, he played well in the Super Bowl season just now. I mean, but he was also coached by probably one of the best offensive line coaches in the history of football, in Skarnecchia. He played protecting maybe the greatest quarterback ever, who has a ridiculously quick release. I mean, that's not all to rip him, but it is to say there were perhaps extenuating circumstances, right, as to why his value rose, and now he's going to have to show he's worth being the highest paid offensive lineman in history. I can't even believe I just said that, but that's what they made him. Yeah, you know, you're right. I don't think he's the best at his position. I think he solved some issues with the Raiders immediately at a position they needed some solving at. But, yeah, this one kind of threw me. The Antonio Brown didn't, but this one threw me on what they paid this guy.
Yeah, we're talking this guy. That is Trent Brown. He now becomes the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL. Yeah. He is a seventh round pick, I believe. He's just coming off an injury. It is a questionable move for a guy like Mike Mayock, who I don't know who you want to believe is pulling those strings, right? But it just the comparison of that, right? This steal of a deal, which was Antonio Brown, at least in the sense of a third and a fifth round pick, and then you go out and you presumably overpay for Trent Brown. What do you think the reasoning was for that?
I really think, I'm telling you, Gruden's ego is as big as you think it is. And I'm telling you, 4-12 last year probably seemed like 4-22. Now, most of that is his fault. When he came in, McKenzie was just a stopgap. He was always going to get his own GM, but he's the one who created Mack and Cooper. He's the one who went old in free agency. He didn't like analytics anymore. Never really came close to addressing the defensive issues. And I just think that Ian Mayock, there's always been this narrative, I'm writing for the paper tomorrow, that they were going to wait, not Mayock, but the Raiders were going to wait until they got to Vegas to really try to contend. I don't believe that's true anymore. I think they want to win now. It doesn't mean they will, because I think the Chiefs and Chargers for sure are still better in the West. But I think that they're saying, you know, Gruden got a big ego, and he took a lot of shots last year for going 4-12, and he got ripped a lot. And I know he reads and listens to everything written about him, and I'm telling you, I think he's trying to win now. Doesn't mean all these moves will work, but I think he's trying to win now. I don't think he cares about, you know, Vegas. I mean, he knows he's coming here, but I don't think he wants to wait. Now, again, they could go 8-8 next year or worse. I don't know what they're going to go, but they're not sitting around. They're spending the cap money they have, and I think he wants to win. It's a head scratcher, obviously, because this all started really when they dealt Khalil Mack, because they wouldn't pay Khalil Mack.
Right.
And whether that was a money issue or a cash flow issue or a business decision that morphed into a football decision, I'm not so sure. But it's funny now how you look back, they wouldn't pay Khalil Mack, but now they're giving Trent Brown, 36 guaranteed. It's funny how football works in just about 6 to 8 months.
Right, and we're here with Ed Graney from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And, Ed, you make a great point, right, that not being able to pay Khalil Mack. And the whole sticking point was, well, they just didn't have the cash on hand to put it in escrow and to go through all that. But I'm sorry, but not even 9 months later, you have the money to essentially max out the two highest-paid players at their position? What?
Well, they just put about $67 million in escrow, because guaranteed goes to escrow right away.
So right.
The two guaranteed on the two Browns, he's a $67 million guaranteed in escrow. Now, since then, I'm not a money guy. I don't know if the PCLs are really helping him out, and he knows what he's going to get in naming rights, and a lot of this has to do with Vegas. Michael Gelkin, I think, just wrote a great story about, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders are already helping the Oakland Raiders because of the tax situation in Nevada. And some of these guys are like, I'm going to make a lot more money going there, so let me get over to Oakland now and get into Vegas with that tax situation. And in turn, it's helping the team with the tax situation. But, I think they're trying to win now. I don't know if it's going to work. But I think Gruden has a huge ego. I think 4-12 was a huge slap to him coming out of that booth, and how great I think he perceives himself to be. And I think he and Mayock, they want to make big moves. It doesn't mean it's going to work. Like I said, you can move Colton Miller to the right side, which is where he probably always should have been. You know, Brown moves into the left side. The interior, they're still fine. I mean, they moved Plecci, obviously, but, you know, they have one of the best centers in the league, and, you know, they're okay inside. So it's an upgrade. And Browns, you know, Antonio Brown's obviously an upgrade. I mean, their receiving corps was nothing. Now they have, you know, one of, if not the best receivers. So it's not, I don't think it's not, the moves won't work, but it's a lot of money, especially at that left tackle spot. That's a lot of money for a guy like you said, Ryan. He's not the best left tackle in the league. I'll tell you one thing. The best left tackles in the leagues right now are feeling pretty good when their deals come up.
Right. So, Ed, let me ask you this. You know, you're kind of – you're talking there about the Raiders and, you know, this win now mentality. What does exactly landing these two Brown squared, Brown and Brown, what does this do to the 2019 Raiders?
Well, they're, you know, I don't know, because the elephant in the room, still the size of Summerlin, is their defense. So I guess it means they could score more, but are they going to win, you know, are they going to have to win 35-30? I mean,
yeah.
They've got four of the top 35 picks. I think they'll go get a safety, although they're getting gobbled up here in the last few hours in free agency. There's a lot of them out there. So they'll address maybe one or two defensive spots in free agency, but their defensive upgrades are going to have to come from those four picks in the top 35. So while we could sit here and say, yeah, they definitely upgraded a receiver, there's no question that guy's going to take double teams. He's going to make other people around him better. We don't know what they'll do at running back. I think they're kind of probably out of the Le'Veon bidding right now because of the cash, it seems like, in the last few hours. So I think they're upgrade offensively. I mean, I never had an issue with, as much as an issue with Derek Carr as everyone else did, because I thought, having spent a year with Gruden and learning what he wants, then to just toss him aside made no sense given how Gruden is,
yeah,
and, you know, how long it takes to understand what he wants. So they'll be better offensively in 19, I think. Depends on running back. Marshawn supposedly now, because Antonio Brown wants to give it one more try. But defensively is the question. If they can't upgrade defensively and get an edge rusher and people inside to complete pressure and safeties, I don't know if any of this stuff really matters, what they've done in the last 48 hours.
Here with Ed Grandy from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Ed, you brought up Le'Veon Bell. Now, Oakland was in the mix to potentially land Le'Veon Bell. I want to go back to Le'Veon Bell's old team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I made the case that, you know, I don't think it's inconceivable if Le'Veon Bell doesn't sit out that entire year last year, thus kind of showing his seriousness to that organization in the Roonies. Is it the idea that Antonio Brown could do the same thing? My point here, Ed, is that I feel like Antonio Brown had even more leverage, and was in an even better position because of what Le'Veon Bell did last year and the choice he made.
In terms of sitting out?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, Le'Veon did it last year. I would feel like on some level Pittsburgh was feeling that, and they didn't want to do it or have it happen to him again, thus the third and the fifth round pick.
Yeah, exactly. He could have. There's no question about that. But I think once he got a suitor that he liked, and obviously he didn't like Buffalo, that was willing to give him the money, you know, he went ahead with what he did. I mean, he obviously led that whole negotiation, or Rosenhaus did. I've never seen a team get fleeced like that in terms of not the picks. I mean, I was actually surprised they couldn't get hired in the third form, but I've never seen a team accept that kind of cap hit on a guy who's still a great player. Like, usually the guy's old, or he's done something legally wrong, or he's been arrested. They're going to endure a $21 million cap hit, and they got a third and a fifth back for the guy. I just think they got fleeced. Now, I don't know what that means for the Raiders, or if this guy's going to be great for the Raiders. I think he's really good, and he's definitely a diva, and he's got some issues, you know, in terms of how he acts. But I just thought Pittsburgh got completely taken there, and that just showed you how much that relationship had completely deteriorated. NFL teams do not take $21 million hits for Hall of Fame players that are still really, really good if they don't have to. And that's what they did, and I was just amazed at that.
Well said. And how bad is this for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I was making the case, like, look at it this way. You just had not just your best wide receiver and your best running back straight out flat refuse to play for you. They're arguably the two best in their position at the game.
Yeah.
And, Ed, they said, I don't want to play. I would rather sit and give up money than play for your crap organization, or in this case, a terrible quarterback in person in Ben Roethlisberger. Depending on what you believe, point being, Ed, this is horrible for the Pittsburgh Steelers, no?
Yeah, and I also think you hit it on the head. I don't think enough has been said about Roethlisberger and
yes.
What a petulant child that guy can be. I mean,
yep.
Look, there's no question Antonio Brown, I mean, you can make an argument he quit on them, the beating, the Facebook, all the Instagram, and that goes back to Tomlin and how he coaches. And I like Mike Tomlin a lot, and I think it's very admirable. They've only had like three coaches in like three decades, but his reliance on allowing them to be on social media and kind of running that place has really gotten them into some, you know, weird scenes last year with Le'Veon first and then Antonio Brown. But you're right about Roethlisberger. it's not a good look for them. They lost the two best players at their positions on the team and two of the best players in the league at their positions. And, you know, now, again, Antonio Brown is with the Raiders. And I don't know what Le'Veon's going to do. I think Le'Veon's sitting out the 18th season. Gelkin had a great tweet earlier that, you know, the Raiders are only going to invest so much at running back. And whether that they liked what they liked Marshawn when he was healthy. You know, they liked their guys at the end of the year. So they're only going to invest so much. I think Bell is not kind of in their aspirations at this point because of the cash. But someone will pay him, whether it's the Colts or Tennessee, I've heard. I mean, you've heard other teams that might pay him. Someone's going to pay him. He's really good. I don't know what his value is after sitting out an entire season. But the Raiders, I think, will kind of maybe fall short there in terms of what the value is. But I think in the last 48 hours, I would say the Raiders probably got better. There's questions of that, and Pittsburgh really did.
We were talking about I was talking with Mark Seidel before you got on. I just found out this weekend that I was blocked by Ben Roethlisberger on Twitter despite never having an interaction with the man. So first question,
that
Ed.
That is awesome.
Yeah, first
that
question, awesome. Are you blocked by Ben Roethlisberger? And second question, who is your best, most favorite, most high-profile block?
Oh, man. Boy, you spend a lot of time on this.
Well, you know.
I wouldn't even know. How do you find Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, I'll tell you how I found out. Pro Football Talk had done a poll. Are you blocked by Ben Roethlisberger? And I was like, well, that seems like a very, you know, very specific poll. So I checked the numbers, and it was like 20% of like 3,000 people who responded are blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. So I was like, well, let me check. Turns out I am blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. Not only am I had a bunch of friends in the MMA media that were blocked by him. Like, now apparently Ben doesn't run his social media, but whoever does has got a very keen eagle eye on any negativity being thrown Big Ben's way.
I am not blocked by him.
Good for you.
By Big Ben 7 or whatever the heck this
is. That's it.
The official Twitter feed of Big Ben 7. No, I'm not. I'm not. But I'm also. I have to say, I'm also not one of his 291,000 followers. I'm not sure who I don't know who the guy would block that's the block. I'm sure I'm blocked by many people, and usually I find out if I have to tweet on something and they say you're blocked by the person. Not by Big Ben. But I'm glad you brought him up, because I think this Antonio Brown thing, like I said, that guy's got some issues.
Yeah.
But I think that because he was the quarterback and he's Ben, he's got the rings and stuff, he got a pass there by the fans and others there in the whole Antonio Brown thing. I think that's two dudes, two divas on, the North Shore neighborhood of Pittsburgh. That wasn't just one.
So let's close on this, Ed. Trent Brown, you know, whatever you want to say about him, did they overpay? Probably, because he's the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the game, right? But it is still on the surface. This is a huge day for the Oakland Raiders. I don't watch them. I didn't go back and look at, like, big weekends or big trades that they've made in the history of their franchise. But this weekend, this last 24 hours, it's historic for the Oakland Raiders, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about that. Mayock has never been general manager of anyone, and
right.
His first trade is getting Antonio Brown. That's pretty good for first. You know, I don't know how he's going to work out, but it's pretty historic. I'll never kind of go off this when it comes to stuff. It was the same with Bryce Harper, because obviously he's a Dodger fan. You know, I was kind of hoping, but I always care about term more than money. So good for him that he got it. He has to be here for 2 years. Trent Brown's got to play in Vegas 1 year, because the hit after 1 year would just be ridiculous. Now the hit after 2 years would be doable. Same with Antonio Brown. People don't realize.
Yeah.
They could walk away from him after a couple. It's only a $7 million hit. So I kind of always look at term and what it will cost the team if they cut him after a certain amount of time. I say make as much money as you can in life. Get as much as you can. Good for him. Is he worth it? He's worth it because someone's paying it to him. I don't want to say maybe in a year we're all looking back and say, man, Trent Brown's one of the best left tackles.
Yeah.
And instead of 51 sacks, they gave up 20 or, you know, less. So I always kind of look at term, and for him, we know he'll be a Raider at least 1 year in Vegas, because it would just be too much of a hit after that. Now, you know, other than that, we just got to see how they progress. But you're right, in the last 48 hours, these two deals have definitely been among their highest probably in the history of the team.
Ed, great stuff as usual, man. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. We will catch up with you down the road.
Honored to be there, brother. Thanks very much. Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
That is Ed Graney from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You can find him on Twitter, at Ed Graney. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk about this historic day for Drew Rosenhaus, and I am going to question why, at every turn, whenever this happens, why are fans going after the agents and players and not the billionaire mega-yacht owners? Coming up here on the Mac Attack.
The Mac Attack returns in minutes on 920 The Game. It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
See, this is why I got to stay off the internet during breaks, man. I was going to come back. We're going to talk about Drew Rosenhaus. I had a clear, focused vision of the rest of the show was going to go.
Uh-huh.
Then I see a headline. Salmon sperm is, allegedly, the key to smooth, perfect-looking skin.
Salmon sperm.
Salmon sperm, Mark. Company out of, well, I don't know where it's out of, Peach and Lily, the brand who creates a serum this person says I would fight to the death for, the glass skin refining serum. Wanted to let you know that salmon sperm is the next big thing.
I'm good with lotion. Some Jergens or something.
Just going to stick with the Jergens?
Yeah, I'm good.
I don't know, man. I mean, this could be something really cool with something really nice and neat and we don't even know about. I'm trying to do the Frank the Tank thing from old school. Didn't really come across all that well. Okay, then. Normally, I would save that for Wild Card Wednesday, but let's see where it's going to go.
Piqued your interest.
Definitely piqued my interest in the sense that 2019. And just I'm filing it in the 2019 folder.
Yes.
Like, here we go.
What a year.
We're not even done yet. We're just into it.
No, we're just getting started.
We're just getting started here. It's March something. I feel like 11th.
Yep.
Hey!
Well done.
Yeah, buddy. I didn't even have to go to the time, date, and
I had to look up at the thing to see.
Oh, man. All right. So, obviously, historic day, as we've been talking about, for this entire show, for the Oakland Raiders. I feel like we should open up the phone lines. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. First time. We haven't done it yet. Been on the air for about 6 weeks. I feel like this would be a good as time as any to let the callers kind of chime in. Even if they're not Raider fans, I am interested because I think the majority of fans listening aren't Raiders fans. You're a Titans fan. I'm a Bears fan. Like, we know what this is, right? But we're all, or I would say the majority of us, I haven't found a lot of people that weren't excited about this, the Raiders move.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about your allegiance. I mean, some people are staunchly like, no, screw that. There's no chance. And I think a lot of other people are just like, yeah, listen, I think especially hockey fans got used to it with the Knights. I certainly did, that there was this, okay. Now, that was different because this was born from the ground of Vegas. Like, the Raiders have their entire history. This isn't going to be a situation where I think that the Raiders come in and take anybody's team or take over anybody's team. But I am interested to hear how much more this Antonio Brown signing makes you excited for this debut in 2020.
Because
it's got to.
Definitely. We actually drove by the stadium Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's getting thrown up, and you're like, man, you know, we're you know, pretty much a year and a couple months away from watching these Raiders play football here in Las Vegas.
Having an NFL franchise in Las Vegas, let alone having an NFL franchise in Las Vegas, it's going to be the Oakland Raiders. It's incredible. It's incredible. Speaking of incredible, man, we kind of touched on it at the beginning of the show, but – Drew Rosenhaus, I just...
got paid today.
He got paid, and all of his clients got paid. For those that don't know, we talked obviously about Antonio Brown. $50 million contract, $30 million guaranteed. He's, on average, now the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Fourth round pick, Antonio Brown was.
Mm-hmm.
Or no. Actually, I think he was higher than that. I'm going down the list of... the list of these three guys I wanted to mention, and I actually think AB wasn't the highest selected. I tweeted out. Come on, Ryan. Where's that? Yeah, whatever. But they're all fourth-round picks or higher, these guys that I'm about to get into. I mentioned Antonio Brown, highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL. Next up, Trent Brown. You heard us talk a little bit about him with Ed Graney. He is a tackle for the New England Patriots. Now, this guy was, I believe, a seventh-round or a sixth-round pick. I don't know much about him. I mean, I know he was a part of, obviously, the Super Bowl champions, which Ed made a great point, and I think it's a point that a lot of people are making right now. How much was Trent Brown propped up by a system run by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I don't think you can minimize how important where he comes from, what that did to his value, right? Now, he's coming off of an injury. And then Quan Alexander, right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he just signed with the San Francisco 49ers. He's now the highest paid linebacker in the game. All of them, and he's another sixth round pick or seventh round pick. Point being, they're all fourth round picks or higher. Two of them are coming off injuries. You can make the case that two of them, and Trent Brown and Quan Alexander, aren't even in top five at their position.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're now all three the highest paid players at their position. And that comes back down to the one and only Drew Rosenhaus. He's been around the game forever. He's had a few situations go sour for him. Mm-hmm. But by and large, more often than not, this dude gets you paid. And I'm enamored by him. Yeah. I'm blown away at how someone like Drew Rosenhaus can go in, you know, just in the succession of the ways he did it. Like, how the hell is he managing this?
Well, he just got Bryce Harper paid.
Oh, yeah. That too.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what in the hell are you? Like, what do you think a Drew Rosenhaus day is like? Just like speed, Coke, and Red Bull? Like, how is he staying up? How does he service all of these players? And how does he make them feel wanted? How does he make them feel loyal? Like, how does he make them feel that personal connection?
Yeah.
It is just, I understand there's some people, and this, I got a lot of this. I actually tweeted out very glowing. Well, I don't even know if they were like glowing remarks. I said this on Twitter today after the news came down. Drew Rosenhaus is on ESPN right now, smiling ear to ear. Makes sense because he reps Antonio Brown, Trent Brown, and Quan Alexander. What a weekend. This man is a shark. And then I had someone chime in, more like a parasite. And I was just like, okay, I'm trying to understand your logic here. Antonio Brown, Quan Alexander, Trent Brown, three Drew Rosenhaus clients, they go out every Sunday. It's not like we don't know what CTE is or what the dangers of playing football are. These men, these athletes go out every single Sunday and risk their brain and their future for millions of dollars, yes, but really for your entertainment, for glory, for championship, you know, aspirations, all that. But at the end of the day, the fans pay the bills, the fans tune in, the fans pay the tickets. Fans are the key to all of this, right?
Yeah.
They're out there for your enjoyment, to make your life a little bit better, your meaningless existence out there, right? Mine included. I'm throwing myself in there. I'm talking about sports for a living.
Yeah.
All right? They're out there doing this for us, for our entertainment. And then you come back and fire off at a guy like Drew Rosenhaus, who I understand he's got a punchable face. He's like the toothy old white man who, like, will, you know, call the cops on you for selling lemonade out in front of your stand or something, right? Like, he has a very untrustworthy face.
Yeah.
I get that. He's a guy that, you know, is always dressed in a suit, and he's always got slick words, and he's, you know, he's kind of hard to believe. Kind of has like a lawyer-esque quality about him, right? Where you're just kind of like, eh. I get that.
Well, he was probably a fan of a team that, like, he had a Drew Rosenhaus client on his team, and he ended up leaving his team. You know, so that's why he's like, oh, he's a parasite.
But again, I never side with the team. If a team doesn't get a deal done.
Yeah.
Right? If as a Bears fan, if a team doesn't get a deal done, or a White Sox fan, right? I didn't get Bryce Harper as a White Sox fan. I'm not pissed at Bryce Harper, not even a little bit. I'm not pissed at his agent, Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
I'm pissed at the White Sox for not offering $5 million more dollars than the Philadelphia Phillies, or adding an extra, whatever. And in this case, I'm actually not, because I wouldn't want him at that price. But I'm just saying, for posterity's sake, I'm always going after the ownership and never the agent or the player. Because I'm the player.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, on a scale of relatability, I'm none of those people. I'm the water boy, right? I'm the male room attendant, right? But I'm just saying, as a fan, I most relate to the player, to the guy who 10 years ago was in middle school, give or take, right? Maybe not in Antonio Brown's case, but in a lot of these guys' cases that are up for their first contract, eating fruit by the foot, or Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast, or peanut butter and jelly at lunch, you know, getting up and working a normal job. Why are you siding with ownership every single time this happens? You have idiots out there that are, you know, feeling bad and boo-hooing for billionaires. The same billionaires, Mark Davis, who said last year that he couldn't afford to pay two max players, essentially, and I couldn't pay Khalil Mack and Derek Carr. We didn't have that type of cash freed up. Then what are you doing owning an NFL franchise? Well, a serious question. What are you doing owning an NFL franchise? All of these franchises are worth about $1 billion. Now, you're telling me when push comes to shove, you can't come down and pay two of your best players the max contracts they deserve?
Yeah.
So I don't know where this argument falls, but it never ceases to amaze me that each time this happens, people come out and play the world's tiniest violin, smallest violin for these billionaire owners.
Well, the fact that you can't afford to pay Khalil Mack, but yet you just paid two people this year who are now the highest paid players at their position.
Huh. Now, I understand they freed up space. They made some trades. They pretty much got rid of their entire team. I understand that. But I'm not going to believe for one second that if he really wanted to, Mark Davis couldn't pay a 27-year-old Hall of Famer Khalil Mack, because that's what he is. And we talked about this when it went down, right? What is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer worth? I had a Raiders friend come back at me on Twitter about this trade today. About, well, two first-round picks. We got two first-round picks. That's why we did it. All right. I'll give you three. I don't care. Yeah. What is you spend your whole existence as a franchise weeding through first round picks, trying to find a level of talent the likes of Khalil Mack. And let's be honest, if Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
They ever had a linebacker like Khalil Mack? I don't think so. I'm just trying to like pick out organizations. Jacksonville Jaguars, they ever had a linebacker like Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts? Probably not. I don't want to be too careless. Like, I mean, there's very, very good players have come through all those franchises. But you're talking about a generational talent that you will never find again. What's that worth? What is that worth? I don't know. As a Bears fan, I've watched the Bears go through first-round picks like Skittles. Like, throwing out yellow ones like they just don't want to eat them. Like, it's an orange one. That's a yellow one. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. It happens all the time.
And then you watched them completely transform your team into a playoff team this year.
Completely. Overnight, essentially. Now, they were a really good defense to begin with. Yeah. Obviously, adding Khalil Mack, you know, changes a few things. I understand that. But you can't deny the impact that that man had on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah.
It was incalculable. So I go back. What is that worth? Yeah, I will give you three. I'll give you four. I don't know where I have to slow myself down a little bit. I don't know what that line would be. But I'm more than happy giving OK a two first-round picks to the Oakland Raiders. And listen, I'm sure in hindsight, now that they're sitting here looking at this, with four first-round picks within the first 35 picks of this upcoming draft, I'm sure they're feeling pretty good. Listen, no matter what, and you know, the back and forth, all that, which you cannot take away, and we talked about it with Ed, this is a massive day for the Oakland Raiders. Soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. You get the top offensive lineman, at least in terms of money, and the best wide receiver of the last 5 years. It's huge. And you could say it changes the fundamentals and the path and the trajectory of your organization for years to come.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want when you're coming into Las Vegas.
When you are opening up a brand new stadium in a brand, you know, a brand new city, yes, that is exactly what you want. And they got it.
Flip side, no excuses for John Gruden. Now, I'm not saying you got to win now and make the playoffs next year, but you need to win soon.
Yeah,
you'll go out and make the highest paid wide receiver on your roster, and then the highest paid offensive lineman. And we'll see what else they do. You're gonna have a bunch of first round picks to deal with. If you don't turn this around into some sort of winning in the next 2 to 3 years. That $100 million contract on John and that move to Las Vegas is going to be taken on a whole different type of meaning. And obviously the gaze is going to be intense, but I think that's something that Oakland's used to.
Oh, there will be people calling for his head, you know, if we're, you know, once they get here. I mean, I think year three with four first-round picks this year, Antonio Brown, and there's going to be people who are going to be expecting playoffs.
Yeah.
Come 2020.
Yeah, final note on that, sticking up with ownership, another chime in. Parasite, that used to be about winning, being part of a team. Nobody cares about winning until they are thrust into a lucky situation. Reporters, writers, etc. leech off it too, so no wonder you clowns get upset because it's all about business. Fans are just a cash grab to you. You have such flawed logic, player. We will touch on that tomorrow. I'm going to save that. I'm going to bookmark it. We have plenty to talk about in regards to this historic 24 hours with the Oakland Raiders. And, oh, yeah, we didn't even really get to it today. We got to get into VGK. Six-game win streak comes to an end. They lose to Vancouver last night, but things are looking lovely for your Vegas Golden Knights. We'll see you in 24 hours. I don't need the money just to say that I'm rich.